All right, so a great job by Zach Wheeler last night. The guy is incredible. I mean, I've told you for a few years now, I think Bryce Harper's number one in Philly sports and Zach Wheeler's two. And I'd like to have Joel in the top two, but I just don't think I can because I can't count on him. I mean, if we did a Twitter poll, who is more reliable, Joel Embiid or Zach Wheeler? I mean, it'd have to be 100-0, Zach Wheeler. Now, if you said
When you phrase it that way, right. It's just impossible.
Impossible. Now, if you said who at their best is better, then most people would probably say Joel Embiid, and should say Joel
talented.
Embiid. Yeah, I mean, I get it, guys. I mean, Joel is one of the most talented players, big men the NBA's ever seen. But Zach Wheeler is he's awesome. And John,
If the question is tough.
Say it again.
If the question is tough, Zach Wheeler is 1,000% over the top.
Look at you.
He gets the vote.
Look at the football guy crediting baseball players.
You gotta
players
love
now.
The way his mindset is just like, hey, when I'm on the mound, I'll fix it myself. When I'm on the mound, don't worry about it, guys. Like, leave it to me. Like, this game is in my hands. And I always feel like this sense of serenity or something.
That's why
you can even call it that when he's our guy.
I agree with you. And that's the thing. Like, I'm starting to get increasingly nervous about the playoffs just because they're coming really soon. And I don't want to say a fatalistic attitude has set in for me, but I've seen the Phillies lose 2 years in a row. And I'm afraid, you know, there's a good chance it'll happen again. But I do know Zach Wheeler holding that ball to start the playoffs will help a lot more than someone else holding the ball to start the playoffs.
This is an opportunity to attack and win. Like,
I know.
To go take what's ours. Like, that's the way this team looks at this.
But it's not theirs.
It's not time to look at the, oh, no, what might happen? What might go wrong that also went wrong before?
Can I tell you the thing about ours, though, John?
This team is better because of what went wrong before. You know that.
I think it's a nice theory. I don't know it's true.
It's not a theory. It's how it works.
The Braves, the Dodgers, we see this every year, John.
Okay.
Like, I don't think you could say that teams, just because they've been there, they're better at it. Like,
I think they're better versed for what to expect.
I mean,
there's
the Yankees,
no question they're more comfortable than they were last year heading into it. There's no question this team has a better feel for what's about to happen in October.
Guess what? If the bats go cold, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
That's very true.
Doesn't matter. All right, let's get a lot of calls in here. 215-592-9494. Shortly, we'll get to something Mike Quick said to us yesterday. Patrick in Tabernacle right now. Good morning, Patrick.
Morning, everybody. How we doing?
Good, buddy.
Doing great, Patrick.
Hey, so listen, I want to talk some Phils. My first takeaway last night, how about that? How about our shortstop making that nice tag?
Yeah, well, how about the throw too? Well, we were lucky it was a fastball.
But I've been getting on what's his face Turner with his defense.
It was smooth. He looked smooth on that tag. I was impressed by everything.
Well,
that was
a huge play.
Amazing throw again. Lucky it's a fastball, but man, the catcher, the Garcia, is that
Garcia?
Is that his name?
Yeah,
I wasn't very familiar with him.
No one was.
He doesn't show any emotion whatsoever. I have no feel for what that guy's like as a person, but I know that he made a couple really nice plays.
Yeah,
that was
big.
Yeah, he sure did. But listen, you know, one thing I realized too last night, you know, we're really, you know, we got some tough decisions to make come full season.
I agree.
Like the roster, and you know what? I need to see Clemens in there. You know, I think this guy is, you know, the third base, first base, some.
You know, Patrick, let me throw this into the mix, and I'd have to have the whole roster in front of me to, and I don't at this exact moment, but I do wonder if they'll go with one less pitcher in the postseason than typically teams do, and have one more batter than typically teams do, because, you know, with the starting pitching generally being very strong, so you hope, you know, you get out of that starting staff, you know, five inning minimum, six, maybe sometimes seven with Wheeler and Nola. And then knowing you got five guys in the bullpen, especially now that it seems like Alvarado's reestablished. So you got Alvarado and Strom. You got Estevez who's joined it. You got Kirkering and you got Hoffman. I mean, you can make an argument you don't need that. What would it be, Seltzer? Eighth reliever?
Oh, yeah.
Ninth reliever?
Sure. I mean, they're probably not going to pitch.
Like, I think that I'm good not having that extra pitcher and having Cody Clemens on the team.
I think I agree with you, but I think the concern is those type of games where it's a 10-8 game or a 10-6 or this or that, where you go, you know, you go through pitchers and you don't want to waste arms. You don't want to waste your bullets.
Well, that's where it's so key that, and it's risky, that if you go with that approach, that the starting pitchers actually deliver. I mean, there was a game in the postseason a couple of years ago. First off, you had the Syndergaard thing where he would only be allowed to pitch
the
three
Bailey
innings.
Falter one.
You had Bailey
Got
Falter.
Two outs.
Yeah. So that means your pitchers need to get 25 outs.
And they won that game because they kept getting, you know, they stayed in it, you know?
It's crazy. Anyway, Patrick, they got options, clearly.
Yeah, they do. And but you know what? When did we suddenly get all these great roster players? That's what I'm wondering. You know, not like, because, you know, go back in time. We had no farm system, it seemed. You know what I mean? And yeah, we got some players that we can do something with, I think. And that's exciting. You know, like, guys coming off the bench is super critical. You know, the timing, like, again, timing. The timing of that throw in the tag, throw him out, tag him out last night. The timing of plays, the timing of hits. Super, super
critical. Well, two biggest defensive plays were the stop play and the Garcia play. They were huge. Patrick, give me an answer. What amazes you?
Well, you know what? That guy took space. I'm taking Mother Earth, Fish, John Ritchie, everything encompassing Mother Earth.
No, we're getting out of hand here. We're getting out of hand. That's not acceptable. Like, come on.
Mother Earth. It's a little too much.
Massive.
Yeah, we need to tighten these answers up a little bit.
But I mean, space is.
Well, like,
all right, we'll figure it out as we go.
Mother Earth is in space. It's smaller than space.
We're getting out of hand.
It's not very creative.
And also, it's just what's the point then? Yeah. You know, like, if someone's going to say something like a bridge or whatever, you know what I mean? It's like, wow, I'm amazed by bridges, but that's on Mother Earth. Like, it's just it's too much.
Right. We'll do our best to discern as we move.
We can't allow Mother Earth.
Give us great answers for how we can go with this. 215-592-9494. Coming up, speaking of answers, Mike Quick, his answers to us yesterday about Jalen Hurts leaving the pocket early. We'll get to that coming up. Interesting stuff in 1 minute. Hey, let me tell you about MHS Left. You know, it's obviously been a wild time lately to be a Philly sports fan, and the next couple months could be particularly wild. We're all hoping for our teams to be winners, and I want to tell you about a team I know is a winner. That's the great team leading the way in the forklift industry in the Delaware Valley, the great people Annie and Brett Levin, the wonderful team at MHS Left. MHS Left, an award-winning, nationally recognized material handling equipment company that since 1970 has been offering everything that your warehouse needs, from forklifts and equipment rentals to racking solutions and warehouse optimization. MHS Lift does it all, and they always put you, the customer, first. With over 100 service technicians on call, MHS Lift maintenance programs ensure that your equipment runs smooth, minimizing downtime and maximizing efficiency. They've got a simple mission: to provide the best equipment, services, and integrated solutions to keep your operations moving forward. Are you ready to elevate your business? Well, then call MHS Lift and call them today at 888-MHS-LIFT. You can also go to their website to start off, MHSLIFT.com. That's MHSLIFT.com. All right, let's get to Mike Quick. So, you know, Mike joined us on the program yesterday. Oh, by the way, let me just say this before I even get to specifically Mike. If you don't know our lineup of guests, because, you know, Mike is with us every Wednesday, but let me detail for you the day-by-day of what's going to happen on the show. Now, occasionally this will alter. You know, if the Eagles play a Monday night game, for instance, I was talking to Seth Joyner yesterday. We're texting with him. And so instead of Seth being on our program next Monday, he's going to be on the program next Tuesday. Because, you know, we really want Seth's reaction the day after a game. But let's just say the Eagles play a 1 o'clock game on a Sunday, or any Sunday game. Generally speaking, this is what you'll have. And this is only a portion of the lineup, but these are some of the notables on a weekly basis. Ray Dittinger on Monday at 7:55. Seth Joyner in studio with us on Monday for an entire hour, 9 to 10.
Those guys know what they're talking about.
I would say, all right,
they can assess a game pretty well.
Twitter poll question of the day: who knows more, Seth or Ray? Ray, what's the answer to that?
Oh,
not putting it in a poll, I think, is the answer.
Who would win a brawl, Seth Joyner, Ray Dittinger?
There we could say Seth. Okay, that one I feel confident saying Seth.
So Monday, Seth and Ray. Tuesdays, Jaws, 7:25. Brandon Graham in studio with us, 7:40 to 8:10. Elliot Shore Parks, 8:20. And somewhere in there on Tuesdays typically will be Nick Sirianni. Last year he was typically at 8:40. I would guess that's a distinct possibility this year, but we'll see as time goes. So Tuesdays, you got Sirianni, you got Elliot, you got Brandon Graham, you got Joss. Wednesdays.
Tuesday sounds pretty sweet.
Pretty. There's a lot. It's hefty, right? Pretty hefty.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Wednesdays.
Like that 99 per mile per hour high heater. That thing is heavy.
Right.
That's coming in with a mission, with a purpose.
It is. Wednesdays, 6:35, Shield Kapadia. 7:40 to 8:40, Ross Tucker for an entire hour. 9:10, Mike Quick. Another phenomenal day.
Whew.
Thursdays, another phenomenal day. 7:30 to 8:30, Jason Kelsey in studio, fielding your phone calls for an hour. 9 o'clock, and by the way, line up for Kelsey. He's coming in, obviously, in the next hour. You want to talk to him, weigh in here at 215-592-9494.
Did we cut out Joe's hottie exchange for Jason?
Yeah, I have it ready
later?
To go.
Okay. Did we get the right one cut out?
I mean, let's just know there's
I got it.
There's a pecking order
what
here.
What other one would it be?
There's
Hammer!
And then there's Kelsey. Okay.
Wow.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Is that real?
Am I going on his show or is he coming on my show?
Wow.
Well, our show, I should say. Our show. Our
keep
show.
Digging that hole, buddy.
Mm-hmm. All right. So Thursday's Kelsey and then the King, Howard Eskin, at 9 o'clock. And then Fridays, every Friday, Elliot Shore Parks, 7:30. Beat the Hammer, of course, got to slide that in there, 7:45. Dick Vermeil, 8 o'clock. So be tuned all week, all season. If you can hear 94 WIP, we're happy to bring you this lineup. 215-592-9494. So one of the parts of that lineup, obviously, Mike Quick, as I had referenced. Let's listen to Quick on our show yesterday, talking about, you know, Hurts leaving the pocket needlessly. John had teed this question up, and John had expressed concern about Jalen leaving the pocket early. Then Mike said this.
Same. He's breaking the pocket still a little bit early, and that's something that he's going to have to get comfortable with. And trusting that these guys, that he's going to be able to step up. And I think early in the game, there was the interception down the middle of the field where he wasn't able to step up. When things like that happen early in the game, you kind of lose that trust. But he's going to have to gain the trust that these guys are going to protect him, hang in that pocket a little bit longer, and execute the offense.
So this is a big part of the season because, you know, you can obviously do some winning the way he's played in the past, that's clear, but you want to be better. And I said it in the offseason, I'll say it again, I'll say it 500 times this year if I need to, these four words about Jalen in the pocket: step up, not out. Step up,
and it's step,
not out.
Not run. Like,
no,
it has
right.
become.
Step up.
What last year did, it really did train him to do something that's so incredibly wrong for everyone else. Yes, it keeps you upright. Yes, it keeps you uninjured. But those guys who are blocking for you, they expect you to be in the middle of that cup.
Well, so does
that pocket that they are creating.
Right.
They expect that their butt is facing you, and you are in a certain place.
So
as soon as you move, as soon as you break the pocket and run to that right sideline or the left sideline, the guy that you're blocking is running with him.
John, I agree.
And you can't stay on that block properly.
Yeah, no, and you would know that as a dude blocking, and you've seen it. So I'll say
it's
this.
So frustrating.
To me, that's like half of it. The other half of the problem is talking about expectation. A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith are expecting the ball at a certain time. Nick Sirianni and Kellen Moore are expected the ball being delivered at a certain time.
Yes.
I mean, there's a choreography to a play design.
And the interceptions that he threw were because it was late. The choreography of the play design was off because Jalen got to that decision far too late by NFL standards.
I mean, I remember, you know, when we had Irving Fryer in studio with us about 2 months ago, and we're going to have Irving back in studio sometime soon. It was fun when he was with us in the summer. And he had referenced how when he got to his first practice, I think it was with the Miami Dolphins. So he had been a star for the Patriots, then played with the Dolphins with Dan Marino. And he said that in one of his – this is really interesting because let's get it into this conversation related to the Eagles and choreography. He said in one of his first practices with the Dolphins, he was running so fast, running the patterns. Don Shula was like, yo, dude, you got to slow this down. This is a matter of timing. I need you to be at a certain spot. Like when Dan Marino's back foot plants and it's ready for him to throw, I need you in this spot. You might be fast enough to go a little further, but like time it up. Like there's a precise. I mean, obviously we all know Bill Walsh wanted to be precise with the execution of the 49ers offense, which you can make the case might be the best offense in the last, you know, 40 years in pro football. What he was doing there at that time was so far ahead of the curve. And the bottom line is, like, Jalen, when he gets off kilter and leaves the pocket, it does throw plays in disarray. He can still make plays, but typically you'll make less. Let's listen to a little bit more of Mike. Mike Quick talking about this more when we talked to him yesterday. Mike, you experienced this with Randall, you know, as when you were playing with him. I mean, when a player has the ability to be so elusive, and they've had that for years, they lean into that, and that's a hard habit to break.
I agree. It's a tough habit to break, but I do believe that it's one that you can. I thought that during the training camp, it was much better, and expecting to see that in real life, in real time, is just not realistic. So I think he really has to spend more time on task to get better at it. And there's no other way. There's no other way to do it. You can't practice that. You can practice it, but it doesn't necessarily spill over
until
you just make yourself do it.
It's an important part of the season. It really is. And again, the reason why I net out as feeling a little bit, not a ton worse, not even close to a ton worse, but a little bit worse about the Eagles after week one than before week one. Jalen, that concerned me, and the pass rush, that concerned me. Now, the positives are amazing. Saquon and the linebackers inside, all that stuff. I mean, the rookie cornerback, that's incredible. All right, let's give you
I'm fascinated to see the difference that these coaches, our new coaches, offensive coaches, Kellen Moore, Doug Nussmeier, the offensive coordinator, the QB coach, I'm fascinated to see the work that they can do now that they have tape, game tape, to coach Jalen up with.
I know.
And now they've got a mini bye as well. You know, with the Friday game, with the Monday game following it, they've got the tape, they've got the time. Let's see what a big difference they can make in the play of this young quarterback.
It's important. It's very important. Now, let's give you two different Twitter poll questions of the day, both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. If you're thinking about making the switch to an electric vehicle, well, think Armin Chevrolet. Armin has incredible leases on the Blazer EV and Equinox EV. Together, let's drive. First poll question. After week one, do you feel better or worse about the Eagles than you did prior to the season? Obviously, A, better, B, worse. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. And you can on this question as well. I'm curious where people stand on this one. With the playoffs barreling toward us, and the Phillies are so obviously going to make it, and they start in about 3 weeks, which emotion do you feel more about the Phillies in October as the playoffs approach? Is it A, excitement, or B, nervousness? I can tell you I feel both. Obviously, I would think a lot of people probably feel both. Which do you feel more excited or more nervous? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter.